Hello and welcome. I'm Penelope Jane Smith, founder and executive director of Real Prosperity Inc. And in this special training, oh my God, we are going to dive into the MPX investment strategy. This is part one of this training, but really part one is all you need to totally rock it. You're going to discover a powerfully simple way of investing, not trading, indexing, timing, stock picking, or buy and hold, that can allow you to really get back control over your wealth in just a few hours a year without all of the complexity and hype and fear and confusion or outdated ideas that worked great in the 1970s, but no longer work so great today. So you're gonna learn the one thing that determines 93.6% of your investment performance, why it's important to use a success secret of the aviation industry to massively increase your ROI while avoiding big losses. You're gonna learn how to filter out the noise, hype, and fear in the investment world and really focus on what works. The number one most reliable source of information for what's actually going on in the markets and the strategy that protected thousands of investors from the dot-com crash in 2000 and the 58% crash in 2008. So after today's training, you will never look at investing quite the same way again. It's like in the movie, The Matrix, when Cypher is looking at a black screen with all these little green characters scrolling by. And he says, you know, there's just too much information to decode the matrix. You get used to it though. Your brain does the translating. So I don't even see the code anymore. All I see is blonde, brunette, redhead. So today you're going to learn to see what even many of the most savvy and experienced financial experts don't know how to see. And since we're talking about investing, I have to give a legal disclaimer here. I am not a financial planner. I don't sell financial products. I don't give financial advice. This training is for educational purposes only, okay? Also, past performance is not indicative of future performance. There's a risk of loss as well as the opportunity to gain. Anytime you're investing, there's no guarantee that past results will produce similar future returns. There's no guarantee that the strategies we discuss are going to continue to perform. And there's no guarantee that the strategies discussed will work for you personally or your personality. And I also have to say that all of the content that we're presenting in this training is believed to be reliable, but we cannot attest to its accuracy. So I or my team may or may not have investments in any of the funds that we're using as examples in this training. And as much as we check and recheck, it's possible this training could contain errors. So you should not make any investment decision based solely on this training. Please, please, please connect with a certified financial advisor to discuss all changes, trades, allocations, other financial planning needs. Okay. Now, investing is a big topic and it can get super complicated. So there's no way I can teach you everything I know about investing in a 1 hour-ish training. However, in this training, you will see how investing can be powerfully simple and easy. So today we're going to focus on a specific investment strategy called MPX. And we'll talk about what MPX stands for, as well as why the strategy is built the way it's built. So there are two worlds of money. How many worlds of money, please? Two, yes, thank you. So there's the making or earning money world where you're working for money. And then there's the growing money world where your money is working for you. So you generate some money in the making money world, and then you transfer some of that money into the growing money world. For example, you might transfer money into a retirement account with tax benefits, like an IRA, a 401k, a 403b, if you're in the United States, an RRSP or TFSA, if you're in Canada, a SIP, ISA, or pension, if you're in the UK, or a superannuation, if you're in Australia. So depending on where you are, different names for things, right? Or you might transfer money into a regular brokerage account. So this training is about what happens once you've transferred money to the growing money world. How do you get your money working for you? So let's start by taking a look and reviewing the two leading strategies from the big box financial advisor world. And what I mean by big box advisor is any conventional advisor, even if they're a boutique company or even just a single person, an independent advisor. So how can you tell if you are talking to a big box advisor? Would you like to know the signs? All right, here you go. So the first thing is big box advisors will have you, they'll typically want you to own more than one mutual fund. They'll typically have you invest in more than 10 different ticker symbols, and they'll typically have you rebalance. So if they recommend these things, doesn't mean that they're bad or wrong. It just means that they're conventional thinkers and they'll probably support their clients to get conventional results. So when you're working with a big box financial advisor, it's pretty normal to see like 20, 40, 60, 80 different ticker symbols on your statement that get rebalanced annually. And part of the reason for that is we implicitly assume that something labor intensive is worth more than something that isn't. So when we see all these positions and all this rebalancing, we feel good about paying our financial advisors' fees. It's like, wow, they're working hard. That's really complicated, right? I read a story of a locksmith who took forever to open a lock when he first started his career. And a lot of the time he broke the lock, which meant it took even more time and money to finish the job. And then he also had to charge for the parts to replace the lock as well as his fee. And people were happy to pay him. They even tipped him and tipped him generously. Then he noticed that as he got better and better at his job and he could open a lock quickly without breaking the old lock and without needing to charge them extra, not only did the customer stop tipping, they started complaining and arguing about his fees. So the question should be, how much is it worth to have our door open, right? But we feel better paying more when we see effort. And unfortunately, that means we can actually end up paying more for incompetence. So just keep that in mind as we go through. So the first of the two leading strategies in the big box financial advisor world is the 60-40 split. The 60-40 split. This is where they have you investing about 60% in stocks and about 40% in bonds. Sometimes the percentages are a little different, like 70% in stocks, 30% in bonds, but this is used all over the place. This is everywhere. So the thinking behind the 60-40 split is that your portfolio maybe won't grow as quickly, but it'll be less volatile, meaning the price will go up and down less. So this is often called a balanced approach or a blended approach. And I want to show you what actually happens. Let's look at the real numbers, the real data, so we can understand and unpack how these strategies work. So here's an example of what happens with the strategy in a down market. So this is the global financial crisis in 2008. The red line is the 60-40 split portfolio, and the purple line represents the overall market. So during the global financial crisis, the 60-40 split portfolio fell 40%, while the stock market itself fell 58%. So all the big box advisors would say, hey, it only fell 40%. Pretty great, huh? But I want you to imagine for a moment that this was your portfolio, okay? And you thought you had invested in a safe, balanced strategy. How would you feel about your portfolio going down 40%? I'm guessing not great, right? I would bet that someone who thought they had a safe, balanced approach and saw a 40% drop was freaking out even more than someone whose account may have gone down further, but they didn't believe they had this safe, balanced approach, right? All right, so that's an example of the downtrend. Let's look at what happens in an uptrend. The red line on the screen here is the 60-40 bond split from the bottom of 2009 into the peak, December 2021. The purple line is the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested. So the 60-40 split portfolio went up about 350%. Cool. But the market went up about 750% over the exact same time period, which is more than double, right? So imagine that you've decided to drive across the United States. Road trip time. Most of the trip is straight, But there are some turns in the road, right? So with the 60-40 split, it's like saying when the road is dry and clear and straight and the sun is out and the sky is blue, I don't want to hit the gas pedal. Instead, I'm going to keep one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake, because eventually there will be a turn in the road. And then I'll already have my foot 40% on the brake when that happens. Now, you can still totally get there with this strategy, but it's going to take longer. You still don't avoid the majority of the price volatility going up and down. You still get the scariness of the falls, and it still takes you time to recover. And then the other thing I want to show you about the 60-40 split is that when this strategy was built, this was very popular in the 1970s, the bonds were in a bull market. So this is a price chart of long-term US Treasury bonds. US bonds were in a bull market, meaning they were going up, trending up, for 35 years. Now, I think it's dangerous to assume that they're going to keep going up over the next 35 years. There's probably going to be a point where the yields bottoms out, the price tops out, and it reverses. And then at that point, the whole 60-40 split thing isn't going to work very well, because this is a price chart of bonds going higher, right? This is one of the reasons why the 60-40 split did work, because the 40% that was in bonds was in something that was trending higher. But that is changing. So if you look at a price chart of bonds now, this is the last 3.5 years, you can see they've actually broken down, and they even went down below their COVID low point. So bonds are not acting like the safe haven that we've been trained to believe they are. We've been trained to believe that when the stock market goes down, bonds go up. And as you can see on this chart, that's just not true. So that's strategy number one. You still get large downside volatility, your upside gains are smaller, but you are diversified into a few different asset classes. That leads us to strategy number two, which is buy and hold. So you've probably heard me talk about the difference between volatility and risk. Roller coasters go up and down. That's the volatility part, right? But as long as you stay on until the end of the ride, the risk of getting hurt is minimal. Now, this is not necessarily true of single stocks. There's companies that were considered totally stable and conservative that have gone out of business completely. So I encourage you to keep single stocks to less than 10% of your portfolio if you decide to have them for that reason. But let me show you this chart. This is a game changer, because this chart shows you how even though the stock market is volatile, meaning it goes up and down all the time, the longer you leave your money in the market, the less chance there is that you'll lose money, and the greater the chance that your money will grow. So historically, if you left your money in for a 5-year period, nearly 80 or over 80% of the time, it would have gone up. In 10 years, over 94% of the time, actually over 98% of the time in this chart. And in 20 years, it would have gone up 100% of the time. So that means that even though the market goes up all the time, the longer you leave it in, the less risk that you're going to lose money. And if all you did was put your money in the market and just leave it there, then statistically, it's going to grow over time. And your returns would be triple the returns of the average investor. Let me show you what I mean by that. This is a chart from Dalbar Research. Dalbar Research is a company that's been around for decades, and they track who's better at investing. So depending on what the 20 or 30 year rolling average is, because every year is different, the do-it-yourself investors do anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 times worse than the overall market. So this is just one 20 year rolling average, and it happened to be 2.5 times worse. And then it gets even worse when people are actively trading bonds. So the average number from Dalbar is about 12 times worse. And what I want you to realize this is, like, this is particularly sad, because people who are actively trading bonds, they're almost always over the age of 60. They're almost always scared. They've probably been hurt in the past. So they're not making great decisions, and they are destroying their future, which is the exact opposite of what they're trying to do, right? So I don't recommend that you trade unless you have really clear rules. We have a training in this program on how to trade, if that's something you want to do. And you also want to make sure you have a good track record of following those rules without losing sleep at night. So that's why on your wealth dashboard, we have the trade tab. So if you are trading stocks, bonds, crypto, whatever it is, be tracking it on your wealth dashboard and make sure that you have a good track record of following your rules. All right. You know, otherwise, if you have a $1 million plus portfolio and you want to set aside 5% to just do whatever with for the entertainment value, that's fine. And then when it's gone, it's gone. All right. Now, what is great about the buy and hold strategy is that you can set it and forget it, right? You can have a certain amount going into your investments every month, automatically reinvest the dividends, never have to think about it, never have to pay a commission, and over time, your money statistically will grow. So I like that because that's about as passive as it gets, right? And we like passive income. Now, the downside of the buy and hold strategy is that you're going to take large losses, especially when we're in what's called a contraction cycle. So this fall, this first fall was 50%, and it took 6 years to get back to the start line of 2000. And then this fall was 58%, and it took 5 years to get back to the start line of the end of 2007. So whether you measure it in terms of a loss of 50, 60% of your money, or a loss of 5 to 6 years of your life, like both can give you financial PTSD, right? Especially if you're older, that can be really traumatic. The second downside is that during the stable uptrends, there's no leveraging. You're not looking for the best sector or the best size or the best location. You have no idea if we're in a contraction cycle. And if we are, if it makes sense to add gold to your short list of investments, this is one of the biggest areas where people's portfolios are leaking money without them even realizing it. Because leveraging the stable uptrends in the market, that's something that's invisible to people. They won't even think about it. So let's go back to our drive across the country. With this strategy, it's like saying, I'm going to go the speed limit the whole way, not realizing that there are some areas where you could safely go faster. And I'm going to completely ignore the turns. So every now and then, I'm going to total my car and I'll have to recover. But ultimately, I'll still get there faster than with the 60-40 split. And that's true. That's absolutely true. You can still absolutely get there with the strategy. You just have to be willing to not leverage the stable uptrends, and you have to live through the big downturns, which is probably the hardest part. You have to really breathe when the market is down, right? Let's take a deep breath together. Yeah, that can be scary. So now we've looked at the standard approaches and their pros and cons. And if you decide that you want to stick with one of these strategies, I have good news for you that could save you a ton of money. And that's this. You don't need anybody else to help you implement these strategies. Like if you like the 60-40 split strategy, you can buy a blended fund like VBINX. That's not a tip or a recommendation. It's just an example of that type of fund. If you like the buy and hold strategy, you can buy an S&P 500 index tracking fund like IVV. You can buy this free rate of return on your own, automate it, and you are done. Ba-ba! And you will save that 1% to 2% a year in fees, which over time is huge. Like, let me show you how much of a difference that 1% to 2% can make. So the market has historically averaged between 11 and 12%. So we're going to round down and assume 11% with the buy and hold strategy. So if you're going to invest $500 a month for 20 years, you would have over $430,000. If you had been paying an advisor just 1%, which seems so minimal, you would only have 382 and change, which is about $54,000 less. With a 2% fee, you'd only have 336 and change, which is over $100,000 less. That's a big difference. Let's say you invested $1,000 a month for 20 years. That would be $100,000 to $200,000 difference. And let's say you already have a $1 million portfolio. Over the next 20 years, it could grow to almost $9 million. So that 1% to 2% would cost you between $1.6 and $2.9 million. Millions of dollars those fees can add up. It's crazy. So in that case, you'd be better off letting your financial advisor go and sending them a check for $10,000 every year with a note saying, I'm sorry, I left you, right? Now, I'm not saying financial advisors can't earn their fees. I have no problem with paying fees. Like everybody should get paid, right? I know people who are able to get a higher return than the overall market net of fees, not to mention other aspects of financial planning that they can support you with. But now you have the tools to evaluate if it's worth paying those fees. So I have no problem paying them if they're earning their keep. What I have a problem with is paying for underperformance. That's what upsets me. Does that make sense? All right. Awesome. So this one tip could make a difference of hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars in your life over time. So now let's talk about MPX. And my goal is that by the end of today, you leave with a clear investment strategy. You're like, for now, I'm doing 60/40, I'm doing buy and hold, I'm doing MPX, or if there's some other thing you like and you want to stick with that, that's fine too. But like, I want you to leave this call clear on this is the strategy I'm working for right now. So let's talk about MPX. How does this compare to the two leading strategies? So the 60/40 split and the buy and hold strategies both presuppose that you're never going to see the bends in the road and you're never going to see the storm clouds rolling in. And if that were true, those strategies make sense. But it's just not true. So how the cross-country trip goes with MPX is that when the road is straight and the skies are blue, you hit the gas. When you see a curve coming or the storm clouds rolling in, you gradually slow down. As the road becomes straight again, you gradually speed back up. So here's how it works. There are five asset classes, and you are always, always, always invested in one or more of them. You can't not be in at least one of these things. They are stock, real estate, bonds, commodities, and currency. So even if you have all your money in cash under your mattress, guess what? You're invested in that local currency. So the key to growing your money is to follow a strategy that allows you to align your money with which assets are going to give you the highest probability of protecting and growing your money. And that is what the MPX strategy is. So once you learn it, it's really simple, but it's based on over 20 years of painstaking research, study, refinement, and deep, complicated math. So this is the strategy that protected thousands of investors from the 2000 and 2008 crashes. What does MPX mean? So MP stands for market probability. Market probability. So this means asking, is the market in high or low probability mode? And you're going to understand what that means today and how to do it. Basically, should you even be in the stock market? We're using the stock market as like a benchmark. Should you even be in the stock market? And then X is that X factor that allows you to accelerate the growth of your money even more. So I love probability. It makes investing super simple. It allows you to be agnostic about asset classes and ticker symbols and just look at what is your money telling you it wants to do, right? It's like, invest me here, Carrie, invest me here, Elizabeth. Like it's telling you what it wants to do. And I love this quote. Probability is nothing more than common sense reduced to calculation. So by following an investment strategy based on probability, we can take something super complicated, like the markets, and look at them in a way that doesn't have to be complicated. So MPX asks two questions. Question number one, should you be in or out of the stock market? Should you be in or out of the stock market? And then question number two is, if in, then where? If out, then where? So today we're going to focus on question number one, because that is the 10% effort that is going to get you 90% of the results. So I want to share this article with you. This is on the determinants of portfolio performance. So what they found is that 93.6% of a portfolio's performance, meaning how well it did, was being in the right asset class. And we'll post this under the video and in the chat in case you want to check it out. But here's the thing. This research has never, ever, ever been refuted. Never. The only arguments at all have been around whether it should be a few percent higher or lower. But everyone agrees it is over 90%. So roughly 93.6%, give or take a few percent, of a portfolio's performance is being in the right asset class. Now, this is a totally different approach to a lot of what you've probably heard and been taught your entire freaking life. Like, have you heard you should invest based on your age tolerance? or I'm sorry, your risk tolerance, your age. Like you should change your investing based on your age, or you should diversify. Have you heard you should diversify? Yes. Okay. But most people are doing that wrong. You know, most people are actually over diversified. So appropriate diversification, yes, but like almost nobody's doing that. So let me show you what I mean. This is the Titanic. Remember the Titanic? Okay, the Titanic was diversified. She was equipped with 16 watertight compartments on the hull of the ship with doors that would close if water got in. Now imagine that this ship is one of the five asset classes. Imagine that this is the stock asset class, all right? So if that entire asset class ship hits an iceberg, it doesn't matter where your money is on the boat, it's going down. So all this sector stocks versus ETFs versus international, blah, 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 that's all that same asset class. So if the asset class is going down, you're going down regardless of where you are on the boat. So instead of investing based on your age, your self-described risk tolerance or diversification, you are investing based on probability. What are you investing based on? Probability. Yes. Thank you. So where is the highest probability of protecting, because we want to protect our downside, and growing your money right now? So if this is the highest probability, at what age would you want to stop doing that and do something that has a worse probability? Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? Like, however old you are, whatever your self-described risk tolerance is, you want to do whatever is going to give you the highest probability of success. Does that make sense? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I think that makes sense. So I'm glad that you agree with me. So most of the time, like almost 80% of the time, the stock market is in a stable uptrend. So by asking MPX question one, should you be in or out of the market? You can leverage those stable uptrends and you can avoid the big scary drops, because remember, we're going to look at protecting and growing, right? So to answer question number one, we are going to capitalize on the pattern recognition part of your brain and look at price charts. So you don't need any complicated math. You just need to be able to look at a chart. Okay. So what are we going to look at? Price charts. Thank you. So if you're a visual learner and can sometimes feel confronted by math and numbers, this is especially good news for you, because you don't need to do complicated math. You can just look at a picture and instantly know what to do. So let's talk about why price charts. Why not pages and pages of information? I mean, I've done day trading, I've done swing trading, I've sold covered calls, I've combed through companies' financials and learned to read candlestick patterns, and price charts are the number one most reliable source of information for what's actually going on in the markets. Prices take all that other stuff into consideration, plus other information you might not even know about, and they provide you with a clear picture. So let me give you an example here. This is a chart of the S&P 500 in the 1960s. Now, a lot of bad stuff was going down in the 1960s. Bay of Pigs, that was a scary time when Russian missiles in Cuba were pointed at the US. But you can see how the S&P 500 knew how to manage that and look towards the future, right? Price charts look at all the data, even the stuff that Warren Buffett knows, anybody else you look up to in the investment world. If that person knows about it, if you know about it, if the investment world knows about it, the price chart knows about it. Right after the Bay of Pigs, the Berlin Wall got constructed, JFK got assassinated in 1963. Look at how the market just took that in stride and kept going up. And then Martin Luther King Jr. got assassinated in 1968, and then Robert Kennedy right after that. Then, oh, by the way, we also had from 1961 to 1973, the US being at war in the Vietnam conflict. So if there was ever a time where the stock market should not go up, it would be where leaders are getting assassinated, the country is at war. You would think that the market would fall in a time like that, right? But the market took in all that information, digested it, and saw that things were going to get better. So the reason we use price charts is that they take in all that information and they show us a picture of what's going on. So with any investment, I really encourage you to get to a picture as soon as possible. One of my rules is that if I can't see a price chart of an investment, I don't need to own it, with the exception of real estate. which is a world I understand very well. But if somebody's telling me that I should totally invest in some private equity deal that's going to make me 1,000% return on my investment and it's totally liquid, I can get my money out anytime, like I'm probably going to pass, you know, unless it's money that I'm just willing to lose. Like if I ever do that sort of thing, I just assume I'm going to lose it all. And then if not, then I'm happily surprised, right? Because I have no picture. I have no way to verify it or compare it to the stock market. And if I can't beat the stock market, why would I want to do it? Right? So with this strategy, it's like if you can't beat them, join them, you know? And when you hear stories of somebody being totally screwed over in the investment world, stories of someone's financial advisor stealing all their money, people getting scammed, they invariably put money into some private equity deal like this where they had no visibility or control. So if you're ever determined to go into a deal like that where you can't see a price chart, just assume you're going to lose all your money. Hopefully you won't, but assume you will. Otherwise, get to a price chart, right? So if someone says, oh my God, you got to own Tesla, your response is, let me see the price chart. If someone says GM is steady and reliable, you got to own GM. Your response is, let me see the price chart. What's your response, please? Let me see the price chart. Yes, thank you. Price charts don't lie. This is the best piece of data we can use to know what's happening. So we're going to use it. So when we look at price charts, we're going to start with a 3.5 year snapshot, and you may zoom in or out, but 3.5 years is nice because it gives you enough information to get a clear picture. If you need more information, you can zoom out farther. But when you look at a price chart of a ticker symbol that you own or that you're thinking about owning, you can see, oh, I own that black squiggly line. Like what that black squiggly line is doing, that's what my money's doing, right? Is it going up, down, or I don't know. Like you can see that instantly. If it takes you more than like 1 second to answer, then it's, I don't know. Okay. So you want to own black squiggly lines that are going up and to the right. Up and to the right means your money is growing. So we like this. We like this. We don't love this, right? So when your black squiggly line is going up and to the right, your money is growing. Your portfolio is getting bigger. Your future is becoming more secure and comfortable. And when we look at price charts, we're going to use the S&P 500 index as a benchmark. Okay, this is going to be a benchmark. So the S&P 500 is a stock market index, which means it's a measurement of a section of the stock market, like a basket of 500 of the largest stocks. Does that make sense? Okay. So why the S&P 500? So regardless of where you are in the world, whether you're in France, Germany, Spain, UK, Canada, US, we're going to look at the S&P 500 because it represents the largest GDP on the planet, which is the US stock market. GDP stands for gross domestic product. And it means the total value of goods produced and services provided in a country during 1 year. And this represents a very large percent of the world's GDP, about 25% of the world's GDP. It's based on what's called market capitalization of the 500 largest companies, which means the market value of a public company's stock. So there's more stability to it because it's really, really big. And of those stocks, the biggest one could be like 700 billion in size, like an Apple, you know, and the smallest stock could be maybe like 3 billion in size. So in those 500 stocks, you actually have a lot of diversification in terms of company size. Also, a large percent of the S&P 500's revenue comes from overseas. So you actually get diversification and you get a nice picture in both the US market and international. It's the most liquid index on the planet, meaning it's easy to buy and sell stuff in seconds, as opposed to something illiquid like real estate or gold coins that take longer to buy and sell. And it is the most followed index on the planet. So that's why we're using the S&P 500 as a benchmark. Now, you can't invest in the S&P 500 directly because it's just an index. It's like a list of stocks. You can't buy the list, but there are plenty of funds that are designed to track or mimic the S&P 500. So when you use a discount broker like Schwab or TD Ameritrade or International Brokers, They almost always have one or more index funds that track the S&P 500 that are practically free to buy and sell. So you can just call wherever you have your account and say, hey, what S&P 500 index tracking funds do you have? So for example, the cost to own the ticker symbol IVV, which, you know, that ticker symbol may or may not be available to you. It doesn't matter. But that particular one, the internal fees are like 0.04%, which means that for every $100, it'll only charge you 4 cents. So each one, like the fees might be slightly different, but any S&P 500 index tracking fund will do the job. Because remember, more than 90% is like being in the right asset class. So we're not going to get too freaked out about, you know, a little difference in internal fees. So when you invest in an S&P 500 index fund, that's basically your free rate of return. This is the thing you have to beat. And if you can't beat it, why would you want to be out of it? So we're going to use the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested as our benchmark. So to answer question number one, should I be in or out of the market? We're going to pull up a 3.5 year price chart of the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested. And in this case, we're going to use ticker symbol IVV. Sometimes we use SPY. They're like the same thing. So this one is IVV. And when you look at this chart, is it mostly up, down, or I don't know? Like, go ahead and type in the chat. Is it more up, down, or I don't know? Up, up, up? Yeah, it's mostly up, right? So we've got this dip here, but overall, it's mostly up. So the next thing we want to do is, in addition to looking at this black squiggly line, we're going to put in a couple more lines over this chart called moving averages, starting with this blue line here. So a moving average takes the closing price over a certain period and it averages that number into a line. And that line is called a moving average. So as the price of the investment, the black squiggly line, goes up, the moving average goes up. When the price of the investment comes down, the moving average goes down. So if you use a 70-day moving average like this, the 70-day moving average will take the closing price of the last 70 days of the S&P 500, and it'll plot a line on the price chart. That's the blue line. So we can see whether the price, the black squiggly line, is above or below that 70-day moving average, right? So you can see here, it's been soaring above, and then it came back down, dipped below it, and bounced back up. So that's the 70-day moving average. The MPX strategy uses what's called exponential moving average. And what that means is it weighs the front days more than the back days. So EMA here stands for exponential moving average. You could also use simple moving averages, but exponential moving averages are slightly better from a mathematical point of view. So that's why we use them. So then I'm going to add another moving average to this chart. Now you can see two moving averages. The blue line is the 70-day exponential moving average, and the red line is the 161-day exponential moving average. So the blue line, the 70, that is the faster moving average. That's going to stay closer to the actual price. The red line, the 161, moves more slowly. So why are we looking at these two moving averages? Well, now I've changed the price from a black squiggly line to a gray squiggly line. Now I encourage you to squint or step back and focus on the blue and red lines. So what you notice is that the moving averages will immediately eliminate most of the noise. You can see the gray price line bouncing up and down, but the blue and red lines are much smoother, right? And then do you see how the blue line dipped below the red line and then back above? You can see that more clearly too. So what does that mean? When the blue line is above the red line, when the 70-day exponential moving average is above the 161-day exponential moving average, that means that the market is in green light mode, which means that there's a high probability that your money will grow in the market. The road is straight and the skies are clear. So that's a good time to be in the market, right? That is green light mode. MPX says, be in the market. So when you see the blue line above the red line, green light mode. When the blue line is below the red line, where the 70 day is below the 161 day, the market is in red light mode, which means there's a low probability that your money will grow in the market. In other words, there's a curve in the road. The storm clouds are coming in. So you might not want to be in the market at that point. Okay. So MPX says, at least consider being out of the market. I'll show you the steps. So let's look at the downturn in 2000. This is a chart of the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested from January 2000 to January 2004. So the gray squiggly line is the actual closing price during that time. So look at all that volatility, boom, 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 all over the place, right? During 2001, 2002, the market was falling, and those are huge falls, and then coming back up and then falling and then coming back up and then falling. Now look at the moving averages. They make it very clear which direction the market is going. And then do you see how in November of 2000, the blue line crossed below the red line? If you can use annotate on Zoom, please circle that so I know you see what I'm talking about. Can you see where the blue line? Yes, thank you. Great, thank you, Jennifer. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, you got it. So that was when the market switched from green light mode to red light mode. And then do you see how in May of 2003, the blue line crossed over the red line again? So please annotate that so I know you see what I'm talking about. There you go, perfect. So that was when the market switched from red light mode to green light mode again. So you can see that, didn't need to do any math. So if you were following the MPX strategy, you would start to get out around here and you would start to get back in around here. So do you see how the moving averages just eliminate a lot of the noise and confusion? You don't need to get concerned or freaked out or anxious. You can just pull up a price chart and be like, oh yeah, blue line's still below the red line, or blue is still above the red line. So do you feel like you can do that? Give me a thumbs up if you feel like you can do that. Like you can see if blue is above or below the red. It's easy, right? It's like once you know how to see it, you can see it. Above or below. Boom, right? So awesome. So pop quiz, back to our price chart of the most recent 3.5 years. Go ahead and type in the chat, what mode is the market in now? What mode is the market in now? Green light or red light? Yes. Okay, you got it. Green light, green light, green light, right? Green light. So sometimes people freak out about the market hitting new lifetime highs when we're right here. People are like, oh my God, should I still invest? Write this down. New lifetime highs are a sign of strength. Okay. So new lifetime highs are good. Then people freaked out about coming back. Well, I mean, this has been soaring above the blue line. So coming back and consolidating a little bit, like that's just normal and healthy. This is a normal and healthy movement. So really anything less than a 20% fall is just noise. You know, you just want to look, is the blue above or below the red? And then everything else you can just kind of filter out, right? Now, why the 70 and the 161? If you're like this kitty cat, you're like, what? Why that? Why not the 75 and the 165? Why not the 60 and the 199? Well, there's nothing like super magical about the 70 and 161. There's a lot of pairs that would work. This is something called the Sharpe ratio. A Sharpe ratio is a number that tells you basically how much return you're getting for the risk that you're taking. So the higher the Sharpe number, the better. As long as you pick a set of moving averages along this curve, you're fine. And then as you start moving out to the edges, you are not so fine. So we use 161 because 1.61 is the number phi, the golden ratio. This number shows up all over nature. The stock market is part of nature. It's measuring human behavior, right? And then 170 matches up nicely with 161 along that curve you saw. But you could go anywhere from like 60 to 80 for the faster average and 160 to 180 for the slower moving average. Right in the middle doesn't necessarily give you better results. They all give false signals from and underperform from time to time. But that's why we like 70 and 161. All right, do you remember what MPX question number one is? Should we be in or out of the stock market, right? So if we are in green light mode, the blue line is above the red line. That means we should be in. MPX is telling you buy the market, IVV, SPY, whatever S&P 500 index tracking fund symbol that you're using, your money is saying, put me in the market, put me in the market. All right. When we're in red light mode, the blue line is below the red line. That means we should be out, or we should maybe start getting out. Now, for now, to just be a one question investor, the simplest place to put your money is just cash. Your job is to chill out and then get back in the market when it's in green light mode again. Some people have a real problem with doing nothing with their money. You're not doing nothing. You're actively investing in currency. So even though the amount of dollars or euros or yen that you're looking at might look the same, you can look at a price chart to see the strength of your currency rising. So during market falls, corrections, crashes, people are panicking. Historically, they panicked into the US dollar or the Japanese yen. Remember, you're always investing in something. And the more people invest in the dollar, the strength of the dollar increases. So you might still say, hey, okay, I had $10, I still have $10, but the strength relative to other world currencies is growing. So here's a chart of US dollar. You can see that as the market was going down towards the end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019, the dollar was going up in strength. So your money's not doing nothing. If it's in cash, it's actively invested in cash. All right. Now, would you like to see how to set these charts up for yourself? Yeah? Okay, awesome. So I recommend using a tool called stockcharts.com, stockcharts.com. You don't need to pay for it. You don't even need to do a free trial. Some people are like, my free trial is expiring. What do I do? Don't even do a free trial. Don't even log in. Just go to stockcharts.com and I will show you what to do next. Okay, so actually let me pull up stockcharts.com without my chart set up. Okay, so you're going to go to stockcharts.com. You're not logging in. You're not doing a free trial or anything. There's a paid version, which I have, but the free version works just fine for what we're talking about today. You don't need the paid version, okay? Again, don't even do the free trial. Just go to stockcharts.com. We're going to set up the chart and then you're going to bookmark it. Okay. So I'm going to show you how to set up your chart. I'll also include step-by-step instructions in the checklist. So you can download the MPX checklist right below this video. If you're here live, I'll post the link in the chat. And this has step-by-step instructions for how to set up your chart. And then once you have it set up, you can bookmark it and then just click that link anytime to immediately see what mode the market's in. Okay. So first thing we're going to do is go to stockcharts.com. And then we're going to select the type of chart here. And we're going to do, is it perf chart or sharp chart? It's sharp chart. Okay. So we want to make sure that it's on sharp chart. It's just funny to say sharp chart. Okay. And then where it says ticker symbol, I'm going to put in IVV. You could do SPY, whatever. Either one of those is fine. They're the same, basically. And then I'm going to click go. And it's going to spit out this very confusing thing. Okay, so IVV, SPY, those are examples of S&P 500 index tracking funds. So now you're going to scroll below the price chart to the chart attributes. Do you see this? Chart attributes. And this is where we're going to make it look less insane and more like what we want it to look like. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to make the period be daily. It's already on daily. That's great. And then we're going to put in the range of, we're going to do a range, predefined range of 3 years and 6 months. Okay, so that's what we like to start with. And then 0 days. That's great. The type we want is, instead of candlesticks, which are these things, we're just going to do a solid line. And then the size, we're going to do landscape. And then I like the up color and the down color to both be black. Black. You could also make it gray. Is there a color scheme? Default color scheme is fine. Okay, so just I would make the up color and the down color the same, either black or gray. And then volume, we're going to turn off because it's just more confusion. And then we'll clear these overlays. And we'll clear these indicators. And they'll see it's already looking better, right? So now we have the chart, the black squiggly line, the way we want it to look. And now we're going to put in the exponential moving averages. So under overlays, you go to exp moving average and put in 70. And then exp moving average and put in 161 and click update. Ta-da! And there's your blue line and red line. Now towards the top of the screen, let's see. There should be, hopefully there's a thing that says save as. Permalink, maybe it's permalink. Permalink will give you the link to your chart. Yeah. So you can click permalink and that and copy the link and then copy that into your MPX checklist so you know how to get back to the chart. And then I would actually bookmark this page. So I'd bookmark this tab so that you can easily get there. So now when I want to go to the chart, I could just post in that link, or I have a bookmark right here. Boom. There it is, right? So it just makes it really, really easy. So insert the URL wherever, you know, for quick and easy reference, and then bookmark it so that you can find it easily. All right, so I know we went through that pretty quickly. So remember that when you go to set up your own chart, you can replay this video to walk you through the process. You can also look at the step-by-step instructions that I've included in the MPX checklist, which again is below this video. And I've also posted the link in the chat. Let me show you the steps in the checklist. So if you go to the last page, how to set up price charts, this shows you how to do everything that we just did. All right, so you are all set. Now, how do you get in during green light mode and how do you get out during red light mode? So this process is really important because we're gonna get in and out in stages, okay? We're gonna get in and out in what, please? Stages, thank you. So this is another way that the MPX approach is different because some experts will tell you to never take your money out of the market. Or if you do, then take it out all at once. But we wanna minimize the impact of false signals. And I'll show you exactly what I mean by that in just a sec. So if you're gonna follow the MPX strategy, it's really important to have a checklist to follow because it can be really scary when this is happening in real time with real money and your amygdala might take over and just like freak you out and try to get you to make some bad decisions, right? So you'll learn the process now. You'll have this video to review and you can also download my personal MPX checklist below this video or in the chat. And it's really important for you to go through this after this training and make it your own. Make sure it makes sense to you. Feel free to change the font, change the colors, reword things, like make it yours. So let's talk about getting in when the market is in green light mode. Here is the process. So blue line's over red line, we're all set. So when the market closes with the blue line above the red line, you put 33% of your MPX money into the market. 33%, a third of the money that you've allocated to this strategy. So if you have $99,000 to invest, you would put $33,000 in. And then next, you make a note on your calendar for 3 weeks later. Then you check, and in 3 weeks, if the blue line is still above the red line, you put in another third or another $33,000. Then you make another note in your calendar for 3 weeks after that. You check. And if the blue line is still above the red line, you put your final third, the last 33,000 in. So within 6 weeks, you'll be fully in the market and you get to hang out and enjoy the ride while the road is straight and the skies are clear. Pretty easy, right? Now let's talk about getting out when the market is in red light mode. So in red light mode, we're gonna get out more slowly than we get in because we wanna give the market the benefit of the doubt. Overall, the market wants to go higher. So our general bias is gonna be to stay in. So when the blue line crosses below the red line and we switch into red light mode, the first thing we're going to do is simply pay attention. So we're not going to actually sell anything yet. While the market is in green light mode, you don't need to be looking at these charts all the time. Like glancing at the price chart once every week or two during your money date is fine. Once we switch into red light mode, you'll ideally want to check the price chart daily. Okay, so that's the first step, is we go into looking at it daily. So when the 70 exponential moving average goes below the 161, the blue glows the red, you don't need to buy anything. You don't need to sell anything. It's just your alert or your signal to say, hey, it's time to start paying attention. Now you're looking once a day to see if the 1% rule gets triggered. So the 1% rule says if the blue line, the 70, falls more than 1% below the red line, the 161, that is your signal to sell your first 25%. So we got in thirds, we're getting out in quarters. Again, we're slower to get out. The reason we wait for the 70 to cross more than 1% below is because a lot of false signals happen in the market. The market's general tendency is to move higher. So we want to give it all the benefit of the doubt that it's going to move higher. If the 1% rule gets triggered and you sell your first 25%, then what you want to do is make a note on your calendar to check back in 30 days. If 30 days later, the blue line is still 1% or more below the red line, and the current price is below the sales price of that first 25%, then sell another 25% of your position. That's called the still 1% rule. Okay. This is in your MPX checklist. So it walks you through this as and how to do the math, because this is one place where you do have to do a little math. But during that 30 days, you're still going to continue to check daily to see if the 20% rule gets triggered. So if the market is down 20% or more from its 1 year high, then you sell 25% of your position. So this could happen before or after the still 1% rule. Some of these rules are based on price and some are based on time. 20% is significant because if you study the stock market, you'll see that most volatility happens with less than 20% corrections. So even though a 19% drop can feel scary, it's not a 39% drop. So we're eliminating a lot of the reasons to get in and out of the market. And again, our general bias is to stay in. So if the 20% rule gets triggered, you sell 25% and you make a note on your calendar to check back in 30 days. If 30 days later, the market is still down 20% or more, then you sell another 25% of the position. That is the still 20% rule. So if all four of these rules gets triggered, then you're going to be 100% out of the market and actively invested in cash until the market goes back into green light mode. So now you know the process of buying and selling. You can see why it's important to have a checklist. Checklists have proven time and time again that they work. Using checklists has made all the difference in the aviation industry. And airplane accidents have been on a steady decline since the 1980s when checklists were developed for flight crews. Pilots have a pre-flight checklist. If issues come up mid-flight, pilots have been trained to trust their checklist instead of trying to rely on their memory or judgment. And so we are going to do the same thing. So again, you can download my personal MPX checklist below this video and use it as a template. You can look at or grab the link in the chat. And it's important for you to edit it and put in a format that works for you, so you know exactly what to do when the market mode changes and you don't need to freak out. So let's look at how this plays out, okay? There's pros and cons to every strategy. The most obvious pro to MPX is that this strategy outperforms the buy and hold strategy. So on this chart, the red line is buy and hold with the S&P 500. The top blue line is the MPX strategy with just question one, should I be in or out of the market over that exact same time period? So you can see how MPX was out of the market during these downturns. It did come down a little at first. Your job isn't to get out at the tippy top and get in at the very, very bottom. Your job is to manage your losses. So buying and holding the S&P 500 with dividends reinvested would have returned 130% over this time period. Whereas MPX grew like more than twice as fast. So more than double the buy and hold strategy, which is pretty cool. Another benefit of MPX is that it is more peaceful. Your emotions are more likely to be in check because you know that you don't have to be subject to those big, scary declines, right? And you can look at a price chart anytime and immediately see, oh yeah, the market's 10% down, but we're still in green light mode. I'm good. It gives you a level of clarity most people never have about what's going on. And that can really lower your anxiety, right? And MPX is a lot less work than trading. It doesn't take much time at all to implement. But let's talk about the cons, because there are pros and cons to every strategy. It's more work than automatically investing in the 60-40 split or the buy and hold, where you can just set it and forget it. You actually do have to look at a price chart every week or two in green light mode and every day in red light mode. And just so you know, most of the time, you're not going to have to do anything. Over the last 20 plus years, we've only seen the blue line cross below the red line like 10 times. But you still need to pay attention. If you're investing in a tax sheltered account like an IRA or 401k, this isn't an issue, but if you're investing in a taxable account, like a regular brokerage account, then you also have to consider the tax implications if you're going to be exiting, right? Because you might have some capital gains tax. Most of the time, MPX is going to be in green light mode, so that's probably going to be long-term capital gains, but you still need to look at that. So this might be a little complicated, but I'm going to share it anyway. What some people do to offset that is they put 90% of their money into an S&P 500 index fund like IVV or SPY, and then they put 10% of their allocation into a leveraged fund like SSO. And so what that does, not a recommendation, just an example. So SSO will grow twice as fast and it'll fall twice as fast as the S&P 500. So that little extra bit of leverage can help offset the tax consequences. So that's one way to do it. And then every now and then, MPX is going to underperform the market. If you're looking for a strategy that always, always, always outperforms 100% of the time, this is not it. I have never seen that strategy. But you don't need to outperform the market in every 12-month period as long as you outperform it in the long run. So let's take a look at how false signals work. So this happened in 2011. We got a signal, the blue line crossed below the red line, right? We paid attention. Then we got the 1% rule. So we took out our first 25% out of the market and moved it to cash. And then another month later, the market was still down more than 1% and the price had gone down. So we got the still 1% signal and sold our second 25%. So then here we are, 50% in the stock market, 50% in cash. The market never went down 20%. So we just hung out 50% stock, 50% cash until the market went back up into green light mode again and we got back in. So part of our portfolio underperformed this time right here. And that's part of why we get in and out in stages. Something similar happened towards the end of 2018, the spring of 2020, with everybody freaking out about COVID. Now, this doesn't happen very often, maybe 4 or 5 times in a 10-year period, but the growth of your portfolio will slow down during those months, right? There are also a couple of cons to MPX that might sound weird to you right now. One is that there's going to be times where you don't feel like you belong to the tribe because your money is going to be in cash while everyone else is getting clobbered in the stock market. So that's why I encourage you to stay connected with this community so you know you're not alone, you do belong, and it's okay to be weird, because when it comes to money, normal is broke, right? Normal is nearly 80% of people living paycheck to paycheck, unable to cover a $1,000 emergency. So let's build wealth and financial stability and be weird together. Okay, be weird together. You also might find yourself thinking that this strategy is too simple or too easy. That's another potential downside. So humans have a tendency to complicate things. In MPX part 2, you'll learn how to make this more complicated if you want to. But simple can be surprisingly hard. And I want to share a story about this. As you might know, I used to be a competitive fencer. I used to compete nationally. My main weapon was foil. There are 3 weapons: foil, based on duels to the death, Epe, based on duels to first blood, and Saber, based on duels on horseback. Now, there was a tournament where I didn't think I would qualify for foil, which was my main weapon. So my coach and I decided to hedge my bets by having me compete in Epe too. So he taught me one move. And by practicing and getting really good at that one move, I was able to win like surprisingly often. And I kept thinking, shouldn't I like do something else? But as long as I stuck with my one move, I was able to keep winning. And I actually went to the Junior Olympics in Epe, go figure, because I had my one move. So I want to share this quote by Bruce Lee. He said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." So the idea is to do what works and keep it simple. So now you have a clear picture of three different investment strategies, the 60-40 split, buy and hold, and MPX, and the pros and cons of each, so you can decide which investment strategy is the best fit for you. So let's review. The one thing that determines over 90% of your investment performance is investing in the right asset class. Why it's important to use a success secret of the aviation industry to increase your ROI and avoid catastrophic losses. We talked about the importance of having a checklist to follow instead of relying on memory or judgment during stressful times. How to filter out the noise, hype, and fear in the investment world and focus on what really works. And you learned about price charts, moving averages, and MPX. The number one most reliable source of info for what's actually going on in the market is what? Price charts, right? Price charts, that's why we're going to use them. And the strategy that protected thousands of investors from the dot-com crash and the global financial crisis. Now you know how to use question one of the MPX investment strategy to leverage the stable uptrends in the market and avoid those big crashes. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to create your own MPX checklist and share it with me for feedback. It's nice if you can keep it to one page. I didn't do that because I wanted a lot of white space and detailed instructions. But when you take the time to put it in a format that works for you, you're going to be interacting with it, making friends with it, familiarizing yourself with it. And then therefore you'll understand it better and be more likely to use it successfully when you need it. And here's extra credit. The best way to learn something is to teach it. So I actually invite you to present this strategy to a friend. Keep in mind, this is very different than the way most people are taught to approach investing. So they might freak out. And I'm letting you know this ahead of time so that you can be prepared to manage your feelings if your friend calls you a day trader or gets angry or checks out. Do not defend this strategy. Do not try to convince anyone. Just frame it as, I learned something interesting. I'd like to present it to you and I'm curious what you think. You know, then just take in whatever reaction they have and say, thank you, I can appreciate that. And if questions come up that you can't answer, you can bring them to our next coaching call. This is all about your own learning. It has nothing to do with anyone else. All right, I want to leave you with this quote. The secret to getting ahead is getting started. So I encourage you to choose a specific investment strategy that feels good to you, whether that's the 60-40 split, the buy and hold, or MPX, and get your money working for you.